Psalm 29. Ascribe to the Lord, O mighty ones, ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord thunders over the mighty waters. The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is majestic. The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord can break in pieces the cedars of Lebanon. He makes Lebanon skip like a calf, Syrian, like a young wild ox. The voice of the Lord strikes with flashes of lightning. The voice of the Lord shakes the desert. The Lord shakes the desert of Kadesh. The voice of the Lord twists the oaks and strips the forests bare. And in his temple all cry, glory! The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord is enthroned as king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
First of all, I want to say to you this morning, welcome aboard Air Staffs. Now, here's the thing. Could our pilot and co-pilot please come up to the front and board? So give them a hand. These are who are going to get us safely there today. Brilliant. So this is our new airline, Air Staffs. This is flight 001. It's our maiden voyage, and we're flying a super plane because look at this plane. Look at the leg room that you've got there. I mean, this plane, the inside of this plane looks like a church. It's great. I'm your chief steward today, and I'll be looking after you. So first of all, I just need to say, right behind me is a fire exit. On the side over there, and over there is a fire exit. If we're in the air, maybe it's better not to exit straight away. But welcome aboard. Take your seats. Okay, you've taken your seats. That's great. Now, I think just this new airline staffs. By the way, did you see the amazing logo? Did you get it? I made it. I'm pretty proud of it. Anyway, but that doesn't mean our flying is going to be like that. We're at a level now, and you can release your seatbelts. In fact, let's get our pilot to come aboard and just talk to him about, ask him about the maiden flight. Captain Chakao, could you please come? Could you leave the cockpit, Captain Chakao, please? Okay. Oh, thank you. So you notice those cones over there, that's a restricted access, that's our special door that locks in case of emergency. Oh, he's checking everything. He's been flying without his glasses on. Anyway, how confident, Captain Chakao, it's great to be here. How many hours have you logged flying? 50. Okay, I thought there was meant to be a few more.
I've been asleep most of the time, but.
At least we've got a co-pilot. In fact, let's call our co-pilot. Stephen, can you please come up?
He's a bit thick, but he's okay.
That's great. He's got glasses on. He's a bit, sturdy. It's great to have a co-pilot there.
He's short-sighted, but this is.
The door's just locked, and who's flying the plane? Who's flying the plane? There's no keys. You guys just better go take your seats, and thank you so much. Okay, now, the reason I do this, and you guys have been quite good at this in the mix as we were doing the Psalms. Alice is not here. She screamed. It's a metaphor. And so this is really, why I've done this is, I don't know about you. I know up here in my head that God is in control, but my heart doesn't always know that. And sometimes life feels like we're on this airline. As it's, who's in control? As it's plummeting through the air, it's maybe doing loop-the-loops like my air staff thing. Oh, there was the cockpit. No one's sitting in it. It feels like no one is in control. But this is what the Psalms are for. Psalms are great because you might be the more kind of science person. Maybe you're the more sort of arty type person who thinks with emotions. And the Psalms addresses our head and our hearts. And particularly because it's songs, it combats our feelings. And so if you're struggling with who's in control, what's life all about, what's going to happen soon, how am I going to get through tomorrow, health issues, I'm worried about my children, I'm worried about my parents, I'm worried about my grandchildren, I'm worried about my spouse, I'm worried about housing, I'm worried about career, whatever the case might be, this psalm will speak to that. It's a weapon to fight and help you. And a bit of context, we see, first of all, this was written, David wrote it, and it was written in a time where there were other competing gods. Can you imagine living in a world where there are other competing eras where people would give glory and praise rather than God? And Baal was one of them. Baal was a god of thunder and over the chaos of the oceans. And we'll see that this psalm addresses how powerful God is, and it puts all the other gods in their place. But first of all, it's says, praise God, he deserves it. And this is a slightly different version than International Children's Bible, but it says, praise God. It's a call to praise him, or ascribe, it says, as it says in your Bibles. And the reason why we're called to praise God, because he deserves praise. And verse 2, it says, if you have a look, ascribe to the Lord the glory that is due his name. He deserves praise. Now, children, I want to tell you about an old movie. I don't know if you've watched it. It was called Avengers. It's the first Avengers movie. It was made a while ago. You watched it before? No, you've watched it. Well, one person's watched it. And if you don't know, there's a villain who's now kind of slightly a goodie, a guy called Loki. He's Thor's brother, and he wants to take over the world. And he comes down to Earth, and he's got this crown, and he's marching, and he says to the people, he says, bow. You were made to bow. You were made to praise. And it's a brilliant insight that we are made to bow. We do praise things. And if it's not God, it's something else. It might be when people, if you see nature documentaries, they say, look how amazing Mother Nature is. They don't know who to give glory of. They're just astounded by amazing how amazing it is. Or often people will give praise to themselves or maybe their education or someone else. And we can pat ourselves on the back and you can say, look how well I did at maths in school today. Look how great I am. And actually, everything you've got is due to God. And so we are to not give praise to other things, but give praise to God because he deserves it. And when we give praise to God, it's not like, I don't know if you've ever seen, if someone's won an acting award and everyone stands up and gives them a clap. And sometimes we go, oh, yeah, it's great, but not that great. The thing is, God deserves it. It's natural. And so we're to praise God. We call to praise God, not other things and not ourselves. But it doesn't feel that easy when life, like that plane, feels like it's plummeting to the ground. But so we'll look at the rest of it in a moment. So our sermon's focus is to remind us that God is in control. The problem is it doesn't always feel like that. We're to praise God, but here I'm going to tell you why we're to praise God. And so just have a look at why praise God. That's what verses 3 to 9 basically explain to you. And this is where I want you to watch out for a word that's repeated. So first of all, verses 3 and 4, it says the Lord's voice is heard over the seas. The glorious God thunders. The Lord thunders over the great oceans. And this verse really reminds me of the place I grew up in South Africa. It's on the East Coast, probably most well known for the Anglo-Zulu War area, but it's a very tropical climate. The ocean's really warm. I've been out early in the morning where there's actually a sort of steam rising from the ocean because it's warmer than the air. And so my wife and I, and quite fond of the ocean, and would use it a lot. And the thing is, I've experienced waves. So one of the things I tried to do, I couldn't do surfing because I've got no balance, but I would do bodyboarding, go out with a group of guys, and we'd go out quite far out and bodyboard. And now and again, we had found ourselves hit with some really big waves. And when I say, so the waves are 5 foot, 6 foot, which is not really too huge by surfing standards. But if you're right on the ground and you're paddling like this and you look up and you take it wrong, you get just thrown down to the ground. You don't know which is up and which is down. And I learned pretty quickly, you can't struggle against a wave. In fact, it's best just to conserve your energy, wait, even if you end up on the bottom, and then just try and find your way to the surface to see what's up and down. You feel really small when you're in the ocean. And if you've ever experienced a thunderstorm, which we lots of, and I'm not talking about we hear a flash and you go one, two, three, four. And, what do you hear? For, you know, you see a flash and you count, and then you hear a boom. I'm talking about when the flash and the boom go together. It's absolutely frightening. I think it was Amelia was 3 months old. We were living in this little flat. Well, when I say flat, there wasn't anything above us, and there was a thunderstorm. It was so bad that. And Ange was terrified. She made us shut all the doors and sit in our corridor with our cat and holding our baby until the thunderstorm went. The point of a thunderstorm, the point of a huge ocean, is you feel small and tiny. And this says the Lord's voice is powerful, the Lord's voice is majestic. He's stronger than these things. Baal was a god that was got related to thunder. And David is saying God's in control of thunder, not this Baal. So you to see God's voice is strong and it's more powerful. This is something I came across. These trees are called, where's it gone? Cedar trees. And they were in Lebanon. And they're still there today. In fact, Lebanon's main flag, I didn't know this, has got a cedar tree on it. That's how important it was to Lebanon. And Lebanon, in the ancient times when this was written, was really the place you went to where it had the best wood. If you needed to build ships, weapons, they had these incredibly strong trees, these cedar trees. Now, today's equivalent is lithium. So the country that owns and mines the most lithium is really going to have power over the world because lithium is used for batteries, electric cars. And so that's where the struggle is now. And this is the lithium of its day. If you could get access to these trees, which are incredibly strong, then you would have power. And look what it says about this incredibly strong cedar tree. The Lord's voice breaks the trees of Lebanon, breaks the cedars of Lebanon. It's saying God is in control over all things. So he has a cedar tree, and it says that God shatters it with its voice. So those of you, have you got a piece of paper? Yeah, if you haven't got a piece of paper, Stefan's got some. Now I want you to do something for me. Can you tear that piece of paper with your hands? Whoa, that's really impressive. You guys are so strong. Now, can you tear it with your voice? No, okay. I've been practicing this. Could anyone hit a note for me and try and shatter this? Okay, wait. Oh, no, it's not going to work. I've seen on YouTube, apparently some people can try and get it to work, but not me. You can stop tearing this piece of paper now. Children, can you try shatter this glass with your voice? Who wants to shout? Go one, two, three, shout together. One, two, three. Okay, everyone. Oh, yeah, that's very good. No, that didn't work. Okay. Well, let's see how good you are at shattering a tree. So let's do it all together. We're going to have a practice. One, two, three, go. Okay, one, two, three. That's very good. Okay, let's try it again. One, two, three. Oh, my gosh. Is the projector okay? Oh, no. You've broken the projector. Well done. No, it's just my genius handiwork. Okay, so the point is, we can't even shatter a piece of paper with our voice, and God shatters the trees of Lebanon. It says about his voice breaking them. In fact, if you can't get cedars in your mind, you can see oaks later on. I'm not talking about the people, oaks, but talking about the trees. In verse 9, it says God twists the oaks with his voice. So twisted trees shattered just with his voice. That goes to show how powerful he is. The thing is, how many times, here's this, you can win this, how many times, you need to look at your Bible, how many times the word voice mentioned? First one to put up your hands and tell me. There's a non-prize for you, just a thumbs up prize. Who can see how many times the word voice is mentioned? Come on, guys. Look at the, okay, it's there. Can you see how many times the voice is mentioned? Is it too small? Have you got your Bible open? Yeah. No, not 10. Seven times. Every verse, it's mentioned, okay? Voice. Do you think they're trying to make a point here? It's not talking about their strength. It's God's voice that is strong. And it comes out clearly when we see, I'm going to come to that in a moment. God's voice is strong. And the thing is, people can see God's voice in nature. People might, that are Christians, go, look how amazing today is, or look how amazing creation is, a thunderstorm. Oh, that's God. But others might look at it and just go, oh, well, that's creation. In fact, all nature documentaries now are ruined for me. Because, guys, what does it need to be a proper nature documentary, you that are older? Who needs to narrate it? David Attenborough. If it's not, I just can't watch it if it's someone else. I really can't. Because David Attenborough, I think the thing that he gets across in is his awe, his amazement. I mean, also you feel like you're with him as he's watching, you know, he's looking at the animals. And the thing is, in an interview, he was asked, you know, does he believe in God? And he says, actually, I'm not like my friend Richard Dawkins, atheist. I'm agnostic. And so he says, He can see different cultures around the world talk about creation in different ways. And he says, who's right? But I know nature says one thing, and that's right. So nature's voice can only take us so far when we look at things. Yet we as Christians go, oh, that's the wonder of nature. Now, I actually have to stop. I've got a confession to make. I need to tell you guys something. It's something I've been keeping quiet for the last 4 weeks because I don't like to tell people because people can be a little bit judgy on it. We've got kittens, okay? So our cat has had kittens. We thought, oh, well, you know, we'll do this once because we've never experienced it. The children haven't experienced it. Our cat's small, she's probably only have one or two. We've got five. So, by the way, it's buy one, get one free to the end of June. Oh, there's hands going up, okay? The ginger one's really sought after, but anyway. The thing that's astounded me watching this is the cat that's had it. And I say cat because we've got four cats. My wife's got a problem. The cat is, how do I put this, David? Her name's Beatrice. Is probably it's not the sharpest crown in the box. She's the bluntest crown in the box. She is, out of all our cats, she's really dumb. But I've been amazed at how she knows what to do with these kittens. Our neighbor, who's not a believer, was over at our house at 4:30 in the morning helping us deliver these, we weren't doing anything, but helping us with these kittens. And I said, I went into panic dad mode. So if those of you who've had children, you're like, what do we do? I didn't know what to do. They're going to die. And she says, the mom cat knows exactly what to do. And I was highly skeptical because Beatrice is not that smart, but she knows exactly what to do. And I felt like having a theological debate with her at 4:30 in the morning, but probably wasn't the right time. But it was like, you see. I take it that I'm going, that's proof that there's God. But God's voice needs to be even clearer. And the thing is, we have God's voice written to us in God's word. The book of Hebrews talks about, it starts off and it says, Hebrews chapter 1 says, in the past you heard to God through prophets and through various means, but now you've heard by Jesus Christ. It then goes on the next two verses, 3 and 4, quote from another psalm, Psalm 95, that says, today if you hear God's voice, do not harden your hearts. And then it ends with, Hebrews chapter 4, I think it's verse 12, it talks about God's word being sharper than a double-edged sword. It's saying that God's word judges and changes and corrects people and shapes people. And so where I see evidence of God's voice today, obviously there's nature, but children, especially your children, if you don't really know if you believe in God or not, I think the most powerful place to see it in your parents. And I know some of your parents, and I know some of us. It's nothing to do with us. It's nothing to do with us. God changes us. He transforms you guys before me. He keeps you going as Christians. That's more powerful than shattering a tree. And so take encouragement. It feels like God is in control, that he has changed your life and he's still working with you. And his voice can do miracles with the next generation, just through his word, through Christ. So God is in control, finally, in verses 10 and 11. It's got a throne there and a crown. And the last two verses, got our cockpit. The Lord controls the flood. The Lord will be king forever. The Lord gives strength to his people. The Lord blesses his people with peace. So when you're panicking, some of the questions would be like, well, who's in control? Well, the Lord's in control, verse 10. He's in control even over the chaos. How long is he going to be in control? He's going to be in control forever. What does it mean for me? Well, God's going to give you strength, verse 11. And he'll give you peace. And even when the plane feels like it's plummeting from the sky, you know that God's in control. It didn't look like God was in control when Jesus died on the cross. Yet that changed the world. So trust that God's in control with whatever you're facing tomorrow. When you feel like you're plummeting, when you feel like you're panicking, when you want to lose it, when you want to shout, say, God's flying this thing. I don't know what he's doing, but he's flying this thing. And it's like we're sitting on that plane, and you're a frightened child, and you turn to your mom and go, who's flying this? And the mother turns around and says to you, your father's flying this plane, and he's a very, very good driver, and he loves you, and he's going to keep you safe no matter what. And that's what we are to hold on to. We look to say, who's in control? God's in control. Fight your emotions. Think about the cross, where it looked like God was in control. He did that for you and I. His voice is powerful. It's changing us, and even though it doesn't look like it, it's still shaping another generation. And we have peace with God. We're no longer enemies. Thanks to God's voice, the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word stepping down into creation. So, as we face the world and say, ah, God's in control, think about a falling plane. And even if it looks like it's falling from the sky, know that God is in control because of the Lord Jesus Christ, death, resurrection, and strength. Amen.